Hello, you are listening to North State Give and Take. My name is Bobby Tryon, and you're listening to KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico, California. Today we'll be talking to Joy Amaro from the TrueNorthButte.org nonprofit here in town. You may be more acquainted with one of the programs from True North, and that is the Taurus Shelter. And we will learn today from Joy all the programs, or at least some of the programs, that fall under that umbrella called TrueNorthButte.org. Welcome, Joy. I'm glad you're here today. Tell me how you are connected with True North Housing Alliance.
Well, True North Housing Alliance, I am the executive director of, and we were formally named Chico Community Shelter Partnership. And that was the parent company, if you will, that oversees the Taurus Shelter. And so this organization has been in operation for 23 years and was actually established by a group of people like Mary Flynn, Andy Holcomb, to name a few, that actually designed the organization 23 years ago. And so about almost 2 years ago, we changed our name from Chico Community Shelter Partnership and we rebranded to True North Housing Alliance.
And True North Housing Alliance is an umbrella for a number of arms of that nonprofit.
Yes. So I would just refer them to just different programs. True North Housing Alliance is truly a full spectrum continuum of care provider in which we conduct street outreach. We do emergency shelter, which is known as the Taurus Shelter. We have bridge housing for families, which is known as Aurora House. We have transitional housing for men, which is called Friends House. We have permanent supportive housing programs, and we have master leases, lease programs. We also have rapid rehousing. And currently, we are developing in conjunction with Chico State for permanent housing, a 3D printed house.
And when you say a 3D house, one that they're going to create?
Yes, it will eventually print out a home made of concrete, but about a 200 to 300 square foot home.
Like a small home. It's got a kitchen, bath,
yep,
and can be made with concrete.
Yes.
The whole thing. Wow, that is pretty amazing. So I'm definitely feeling more clear about how the Taurus Shelter is and all the other programs that you've got, because mostly I think people think of the Taurus Shelter. They don't put those together or know about them. So on your website, is it pretty clear all the different options and different programs that you're doing?
Yes.
So that someone can go there and do some reading. And as far as people that are working with you, mostly volunteers?
No, we have True North employees, approximately 40 individuals. We have wraparound case management. So on staff, we have 5 case managers. And then we have monitors that work in 3 of our homes that provide round-the-clock, 24-hour, 7 days a week supervision of our clientele. True North, the reason why we rebranded was because we realized that everyone, the community, only recognized what the Taurus Shelter was. And they didn't understand or even know about all of our other housing opportunities for clientele. And it really came to fruition when the campfire hit and there was no housing available at all. And our length of stay within the shelter increased every month, month after month after month, because there was no available housing. And we had to take the initiative on our own to be creative and think outside of the box of how we can house folks. So that's where how True North was born, because we really needed to have a visual, and True North is, you know, like the North Star, the path on your way home. And so that's where we really wanted, because that's how you're going to solve homelessness is through housing. And so we have then created all of these different housing opportunities. So we have additional outputs for people that are in the emergency shelter so that they can be housed. Pre-campfire, True North was housing or helping 30% of its tourist shelter guests get housed every year, which is on average anywhere between 300 to 350 people a year. We were helping secure permanent housing. Now, amidst COVID, we are only able to house anywhere between 5 and 10 people a month. And that's still above the national average. The national average is 10%, which is considered good. Most recently, we've also been in partnership with California State University Chico and their programming for students experiencing homelessness. We work with them, and because of a grant opportunity with them, we have now hired a housing locator. And a housing locator position is someone that builds relationships with landlords and secures housing on behalf of these students that are experiencing homelessness much quicker. So we're able to establish an inventory, you know, weekly of what's out there, what's available, what price range. And so when we do get referrals for students experiencing homelessness, we can have a quick turnaround time in terms of getting them rehoused. Part of that grant, as well as a rapid rehousing grant that we have with the Department of Housing and Community Development, we're also able to help with security deposits, as well as short-term rental assistance, whether it's first month's rent or 3 to up to 6 months rent, that we're able to help expedite people entering housing. True North also has over 20 local partners that we work with, whether they're other nonprofits or government agencies, to help streamline all of our efforts. A big partner, as you mentioned, you know, you volunteered with CHAT. CHAT and True North have 5 houses that they master lease together. CHAT holds the lease and True North case manages those homes. We also lean heavily on CHAT for the warehouse that they have where they collect furniture and household item donations. And so when we are housing someone, we're able to reach out to CHAT and say, hey, you know, this individual needs, you know, a bed or dishes or the whole gamut. We actually have a housing a veteran today that CHAT will be delivering furniture to. And so it's our philosophy that if our partners are winning, we are all winning. Our community is winning. And so we just really lean heavily on each other because we all also have our own little niche and we're good at those niches. And so there's no reason to duplicate each other's efforts. And so just communication and collaboration is just key to our overall success.
You're listening to a pre-recorded interview with Joy Amaro, the executive director of the True North Housing Alliance here in Chico. So a lot of case management, when someone actually comes in, say to the tourist shelter, you start to see their needs and a place where they might fit in as far as these other programs that you have, and then case manage how to do that?
Yes. So we establish a housing action plan with every single individual that enters our doors. A housing action plan identifies where they're at and what barriers they have to housing. And so what we find is people that have evictions on their records or low credit scores, we can't house them in traditional housing. And so that's where the master lease programs work so well that we have and that CHAT has. And I know the Jesus Center master leases houses as well. And so we're able to put people into housing and not have to look at their credit because the organization is the one that's actually holding the lease and we're subletting out rooms. So this takes away that one barrier in terms of low credit scores, you know, evictions and things of that nature. And so, but those are the things that we explore with our clients and help them understand. And so how important it is to look at your credit score and how can we improve your credit? We don't pay off, you know, bills so that it can increase their credit score, but we do credit education because a lot of individuals don't understand how that impacts their ability to get into housing. So by looking at all of the things that they need, you know, in terms of income, where are they at with disability? Are they able to work part-time as well as obtain their disability check? Are they interested in a shared housing model, or would they do better in a studio? Do they want to be relocated with friends and family out of the area? Do they have a Section 8 voucher? You know, I mean, we look at the whole spectrum to see how we can get people housed as quickly as possible. Unfortunately, because of the campfire and because of COVID, the length of stay at the shelter is, for one individual, the average length of stay is getting close to almost 300 days, which is very alarming because we're not an emergency shelter anymore. We're turning into a transitional housing because there's no output for people to go. And the available housing that's out there is not affordable. And so our folks cannot afford it. So they are staying here longer until something comes available, whether it's their number on the Section 8 list, or we found, you know, subsidized housing comes available and it's something that they can afford. So the average length of stay is, you know, it's alarmingly high. And, you know, we're working our tails off to get people housed as quickly as we can. But unfortunately, some things are out of our control on that.
So you work with the community where houses might be for rent, and you deal with that landlord and see if they'd be willing to be part of the program, because it would be a different kind of rent than just someone that was looking for a rental, you know, not through the program. But I realize that the landlord has to think about that a little bit.
There's subsidy programs out there too. And so there's creative ways that you can incentivize with landlords as well. And so if they know that that particular tenant is going to be case managed by us, they may be more inclined because they know that person is going to get more support than the average person moving in. And so when we case manage people that are housed, it's a different kind of case management. We're focusing on self-sufficiency skills and stability, and so that they don't fall into the cracks and they don't recidivize back into homelessness. And so we explain that to the landlord. They get it. It's like the light bulb is shining, you know, in their head or above their head, and they understand, wow, well, this person may be more successful actually because they do have a support system versus just a random person renting. So that's really critical when you're making relationships. And we have incredible landlords that we already work with that continue, that may have multiple houses. And so they're constantly coming back to us saying, well, we've got this place for rent. Are you interested? I know that's how, you know, Chat has such an amazing relationship and ability to recruit landlords because, you know, they're just so well known in the community and people trust them.
So do you look for houses that are for rent, or how does someone help in that way? Hearing this, maybe they maybe think, oh, I could do that. It's just sort of word of mouth and trying to find places that are available and people that are willing.
Absolutely. So when I first was hired here, that was in August of 2017, and it was on Veterans Day of 2017 that I received a call from Chat and the Red Cross where a house had burnt down. And we had a very vulnerable population that needed to be rehoused that didn't have a support system. And so there was this house for rent. Granted, this was 3 years ago, a house for rent that was on my route to drop off and pick up kids from school. And I kept seeing the sign. It never, you know, no one ever rented it. So I called and I talked to the landlord and explained what I was doing and asked if he'd be interested in learning more, and went and viewed the home and we talked more. And since then, this was a partnership with Chat. And so since then, he has leased other properties to Chat. Just because, you know, it was a call that I just reached out and said, you know, we've got this population, they're 60 and older, they're medically fragile, you know, it pulls at people's heartstrings, you know? And so for the community that's listening to this program today, you know, if you do have an available unit, we don't like displacing people that are already living there. So I wouldn't encourage that. But if you have a unit that's vacant, that's going to be vacant, and you're interested in the master lease concept, to definitely either reach out to me here at True North or Leslie Johnson at CHAT. It's definitely out of the box thinking to help our most vulnerable get housing as soon as possible.
We'll take a little break. You're listening to 90.1 FM. We've been talking to Joy Amaro from True North Housing Alliance, and we'll be right back. To Joy Amaro from True North Housing Alliance here in Chico, California. We've been learning about some programs here in Chico for some transitional possibilities and help actually getting places to rent for people without homes. And we will learn a little bit more about the Torres Shelter, which is also part of that program. Stay tuned to North State Give and Take on 90.1 FM KZFR Chico. Welcome back, Joy. Let's talk a little bit about the Torres Shelter. At the Torres Shelter, there's no age. Young people come in there as well. Can you help them as easily in that they may not have any kind of income whatsoever?
So unfortunately, for people that have no income, there's not much we can do because the rental assistance that we provide is only up to, like I said, we're limited at short term. So if there isn't a sustainability plan for them after 6 months, they're just going to end up homeless again because they won't be able to pay their rent. Extremely hardest population, in my opinion, to house is families, because families require a larger unit. And if it's a single parent, how is a single parent going to afford a 3-bedroom on minimum wage? I mean, you can't. And so that's one of the hardest demographics that we see. So we have Aurora North, which is our bridge housing for families. We partner with the Department of Employment and Social Services, and they have a housing support program, which will subsidize rent on a tiered system for families. And so we work very closely with them, as well as the Esplanade House, for referrals in, because that is subsidized as well.
Can volunteers play a part in doing things at the shelter, or how do you like the volunteers to participate? And
because of COVID, our volunteer base has dropped. However, we've always had a strong foundation of meal providers. So we have service groups or just groups of families and friends that have come together and typically, you know, donate, buy, prepare, cook all the food, serve the food, do the dishes, you know, for dinner. Because of COVID, service groups or our meal providers are donating the money. And then we have guests here that run our kitchen, and they will do all the cooking and serving and doing the dishes and things of that nature. And so if we didn't have a meal provider every single night, our budget for food would be astronomical.
So if someone listening says, boy, I want to help, what can I do? What would be the best thing for them to do? I realize COVID just changes it so much. It seems almost like financial support at this point is probably the best.
I would have to agree. Financial support goes a long way because, you know, every day is different in terms of our needs of our clientele. You can earmark and say where you would like the money to go to, whether it's to build up our inventory of our pantry, we can always use socks and underwear and hygiene things, you know. A fun thing to do is do like on your neighborhood street, you could do a drive of, for when people travel, we all have the little travel bottles of lotion and shampoo. Mm-hmm. And just do a drive like that, or mm-hmm. you know, when you're going through your linen closets and cleaning out, you know, your old towels. Mm-hmm. We just go through so much of that, the towels, mm-hmm. the linens, the pillows. There's a lot of things that are in your own home that you could definitely donate.
Would someone bring them? So say they went out and saw a sale on socks and bought a big bag of socks, just bring them to the tourist shelter?
Yeah, absolutely. Uh-huh.
Just drop them off. Okay.
Uh-huh. And they can, if they don't want contact, I mean, they can always call ahead and let us know. And, you know, we can, you know, meet them out in the parking lot. You know, because we definitely appreciate all of that. And because of COVID, we did see a halt of donations coming in because just people are scared and we get it, you know. We're very apprehensive because, you know, we're frontline service providers. My staff have been doing an impeccable job in terms of ensuring, you know, we're wearing all of our PPPs and sanitizing everything and taking temperatures and all of that.
The time. Yeah.
Yep.
So let's just get a couple of ways that people can at least get in touch with you. The best way to get in touch with the shelter or anything about True North that they might be interested in, like probably a phone number and maybe an email.
Sure. So if you're interested in donating, financially donating, you can do that on our website, which is www.truenorthbutte.org. Mm-hmm. You can email me, which I'm Joy. So it's just joy@truenorthbutte.org. The shelter's phone number is 530-891-9048. And so email is best. Our phone system gets inundated by client phone calls, and so sometimes it can be difficult to get through. So again, joy@truenorthbutte.org is best for me if you want to get in touch directly with me, or you can email through the website and that will actually go to me as well.
And is there a button to donate right on the website?
Absolutely. Okay. It's up at the top. It says donate. You click on it, you enter your information.
Yeah.
Or you can always mail. You can mail a check.
The address is, I'm sure, on the website.
Yes.
Well, Joy, I really appreciate you coming in. I hope that it helps people understand a little bit more about what people are doing for homeless people in Chico, because sometimes we lose track of it and complain about it and see it and don't realize how much is really going on.
Thank you. Thank you for the time. And, you know, I can just say that there's a lot of people out there that are, you know, as service providers, we all come together and we're, you know, thinking outside the box and creating opportunities and solutions. And it may not seem like it, you know, for the layman looking, you know, looking in, and may not seem like we're moving as quick as we possibly can. But I just want to reaffirm, you know, your listeners that we're doing our best, you know, and we live in unprecedented times, especially, you know, the impacts of the flood, the, you know, the dam, the campfire, COVID, and we're still persevering, you know, and we understand and we hear the concerns of our community, and we're doing our best to make a difference. So patience and grace, you know, we all need. And just, again, I can't express the amount of gratitude that we, to our supporters.
Well, and thank you for your work, Joy. I know that it's not a 40-hour a week job.
You got that right.
Okay, great. Thanks, Joy.
Okay, thank you.
You've been listening to North State Give and Take, and today we've been talking to Joy Amaro from True North Housing Alliance. I've learned a lot, and I hope that you have too. One of the things I really encourage you to do is go to their website, truenorthbutte.org. There's a lot of good information there, some data, statistics, and certainly all the programs that True North is involved with. There's also a place to sign up for a newsletter called The Porch Light. You can donate on the website as well, of course. One of the things on the website that I appreciate a lot of times with nonprofits is their mission or their ideas or visions for what they have. And one of the ones for the True North Housing Alliance is that we move people forward with compassion, dignity, and accountability. And they meet people on their paths, on where they are. And I really felt that by talking with Joy today. So I thank her, and I thank you all for listening. And come back again next Tuesday at 6 o'clock for North State Give and Take. Until then.